is really a totally standalone topic, and I don't really have, I wouldn't say what we're about to do is like a thorough presentation of the topic, but you have some makaros to at least get us started on the sugya. Let's start with the Gemara that appears here in Maseches Brachos on Daf Lamed Hayam Veiz. I believe Rabbi Rav Mordechai Willig has a very nice essay in the Torah Mada Journal on this sugya here in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara will start from the two dots about eight lines into the page in Lamed Hayam Veiz. Rabbi Chinir Bar Papa Rami. Rabbi Chinir Bar Papa asks the following stira: Ksiv v'lakachti degani bi'ito. That I'll take my grain, uksiv, in its time, uksiv asafti deganecha. So lo kasha kan bizman she yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, kan bizman shein yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Meaning that when the klal yisrael is osin ritzono shel makom, the dagan is going to be theirs. When we're not osin ritzono shel makom, then it's we're not going to be able to have the dagan provided from us. For us, Tanra Rabbanu v'asafti deganecha matam alamar l'fi shenemar. Here's the key: lo yomush sefer haTorah azem ipicha. Why does the Torah have to tell me to gather my grain? What then would I do with my grain if not gathering my grain? What should I leave it there? That would be foolish. It's just going to spoil in the field, and then I'll be hungry. So obviously, I'm supposed to gather my grain. So Gemara says no, because you might have said that the pasuk tells me lo yomush sefer haTorah azem ipicha. Which Seder are you going to miss? You're going to miss morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder. How could you miss a Seder? How could you stop? How could you pause your learning of Torah in order to gather your grain? So Yachol Dvarim Kiksavan, you might think to take that pasuk literally, that you have to be learning constantly. Tamal Omar, Vasafta Deganecha. Hanig Ben Minag Derech Eretz Divir Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says it's important that in addition to learning as much as you can, take time to gather your food. Take time to work in the field. Take time to make sure that you're able to support yourself. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, that is a recipe for failure, spiritual failure. Efshar adam choresh b'shas charisha, v'zoreya b'shas zriya, v'kotzer b'shas k'tzira, v'dosh b'shas disha, v'zore b'shas haruach. If a person's going to do all 39 malachos of Shabbos, it's like he's going through the whole Lamed. A person's going to do whatever it takes to be able to produce grain and then eat it ultimately, it's a lot of work. Being a farmer is not easy. Torah matahei aleha. When is a person ever going to be able to learn? Meaning it's very nice to say, when you're in Shiduchim, those guys who are getting close to that age, you're going to hear the following phrase a lot. A learner earner. Every girl wants a learner earner. What does a learner earner mean? It means I want someone who learns, but I also really like jewelry. so they want someone who's going to make a lot of money. Now, we've discussed, there are people who have been able to work for a living and become great Talmidei Chacham and dedicate a lot of time to Torah. It's not easy. In order to make a living, a person, by definition, has to put time into that living. That time is time that is not spent learning Torah. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, practically, it's such so nice. Talk about your learner-earner. Your learner-earner is not going to be a Talmud Chacham, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. When's he learning? He's being Dash B'Shas Disha, being Zoreh B'Shas Zariah, and that's fine. But he's not going to be a Talmud Chacham. So where's the Lo Yamush? Torah Matei Aleha. It's interesting. It doesn't say, this guy, what's going to be with him? No, Torah Matei Aleha. The covenant we have to show to Torah is to completely explore the depth of Torah. So yeah, someone might have a surface knowledge of Torah, what they call a Yodea Sefer, that he knows which way to hold the book. He knows that, but he doesn't. He's not going to have a depth of understanding of Torah if he never has an opportunity to learn Basmada Yomam V'Layla. Ella, so says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, a different model. Bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom lachtan nasis al yidei acherim. If we do what's right, if we're fulfilling the ratzon Hashem, our malacha will be done by other people. There will be others that take care of it for us. Shenemar va'amdu zarim uru tzonchem. That strangers are going to come and they're going to shepherd our sheep. So we'll be a CEO and we'll be able to sit in our cushy office. And all of our employees will be running the business and we won't have to worry about it. We'll just collect the checks. if we're doing Ritzono Shel Makom, we're able to learn full time. Ubizman Sheini Sholos and Ritzono Shel Makom, Lach Denas Salide Atzma. When we're not doing the Ritzono Shel Makom, well, then we have to do the work. Shenemar V'yasafta D'Gnecha. So essentially, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, V'yasafta D'Gnecha is not an ideal. It's not even a bidyeved. It's an onesh. It's when a person is not, when Klal Yisrael is not doing right, then we're going to have to work. But if we're doing right, we're lo yomush. Lo yomush, sefer HaTorah zemi picha, we're going to learn full time, everything's going to be great. And when we're not doing Ritzon Shemakom, it's going to be even worse. Not only are we going to have to work for ourselves, we're going to have to work for other people. So it's going to be terrible. So essentially, what you have here is a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel says, I have two pesukim that contradict each other. Lo yamush and v'yasafta d'gnecha. What do you do when you have two pesukim that contradict each other? That's really what they're arguing about. What do you do when you have two pesukim that contradict each other? Happens to be a fascinating discussion. We say it every morning in Rabbi Shmuel Omer. What you do when you have two pesukim that contradict each other? Shneiksum ma'machishim zeh. Adji yavo kasva shlishi v'yachriya b'neihem. So find a third pasuk. Yeah, except you can't. Like, they're not making those anymore. Pesukim, you know, like it either exists or it doesn't exist. So what do you do when you have two pesukim that contradict each other, and there is no third pasuk to be machriya b'neihem? What do you do then? That's what Rav Yosef Engel points out in one of his svarim in Gilyonei Hashas, that's the sugya in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara talks about that the Torah says that you should make Yom Tov lachem. And you should make Yom Tov LaHashem. And the Gemara says, which is it? Should Yom Tov be an experience of Lachem, where you're enjoying a meal, and you're resting, and, you know, taking care of yourself? Or should it be LaHashem? Should it be about davening and learning? So there's a machlokas in that Gemara. What's a machlokas? How do we reconcile the two? There is no Kasav HaShlishi. The Gemara doesn't express it in that way. Rav Yosef Engel points it out. That really we should be looking for a Kasav HaShlishi, but we couldn't find one. So the Tanaim had to figure out, so what do we do? So what's the machlokas? So one opinion is chatzi laHashem, chatzi lachem. They both are true somewhat. You have to modify each one a little bit, but they're both somewhat true. You have to make them both work simultaneously. That translated to our Gemara would be the opinion of who? Rabbi Shmuel, right? V'yasafta d'gnecha is true, and lo yamush is true. When it's time for learning, it's lo yamush. When it's time for working, it's v'yasafta d'gnecha. What's the other opinion in the Gemara Pesachim about how to deal with Yantif? O kula lachem, O kula lashem. That what the Torah is giving you is options. You get to choose, I'm going to do kula lachem or kula lashem. One or the other. That could be your Yantif experience. That would fit Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That you get to choose. You want to do Ritzono Shel Makom, you'll be able to experience Lo Yamush, and you can ignore V'yasafta D'Gnecha. But if you choose V'yasafta D'Gnecha, you're going to have to ignore Lo Yamush. Lo Yamush will not be fulfilled at all. That's what it seems to be the point of dispute over here. It's had a darshan psukim when you have a stira between two psukim. So this is a very fundamental machlokas in terms of our behavior, in terms of what we should be doing. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Harbe Asuk Rabbi Yishmael Va'ol Sabiyada. Lots of people did like Rabbi Yishmael, and it worked out very nicely for them. They were able to learn when it was time to learn, and work when it was time to work, and they lived happy lives, and things were going well. Kirabi Shimon Bar Yochai V'lo Ol Sabiyada. They did like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and it didn't work out so well. Is that a psak? So he didn't say halacha k'Rabbi Shmuel or halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's almost like, is this really a machlokas in halacha? I'm not sure. Now sometimes we have machlokas in hashkafa. This might be a machlokas in hashkafa. It's an interesting question whether there's such a thing as a psak in a machlokas in hashkafa. If you have gedolei olam argue about something in hashkafa, do you say, oh, it's gepaskind? So in a certain level, yes, because, you know, we passed in the Rambam's Yud Gimli Kari Amuno. Those are all issues of Hashkafa. What about, you know, more minor issues of Hashkafa? You know, people debate, whether our attitude toward the Medina or toward secular studies. Let's say secular studies. That's been debated forever. So do we say, you know, at some point there's a halacha psuka that you have to pass it, or do we say that no, that there's room for multiple viewpoints within that will continue to exist and play out lemaisa within Yiddishkeit? It's an interesting thing. But it's not it doesn't sound like a psak, it's an observation. So Abaye observes, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is ideal, it doesn't work for the masses. It's, or maybe nice, maybe not, but it doesn't work for the masses. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel works for the masses. Amale Rav the Rabbanan, just two more lines. B'matusa minaychu b'yom Nisan b'yom Tishrei lo tischazu kamayi. He says, look, during Nisan and Tishrei, that's what we call bein hazmanim. Ki echad lo titrudu b'mzonaychi kula shasa. If you don't take that break during Nisan and Tishrei to work the fields, then you are never going to show up to the Beis Medrash. You need that break in order to be able to show up to the Beis Medrash the other 10 months out of the year. So he says, I don't want to see you in the Beis Medrash. You know, at these times. It's been known in yeshivas where mashkichim will go over to a boy who's up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, shut the boy's gemara, go to sleep now. Because you need to be here for Shacharis tomorrow. And you know, as frum as you feel being up at 2 in the morning, if that's going to mean that you're not here for Shacharis tomorrow, you have to keep the long view. Leave the Beis Medrash when it's time to leave the Beis Medrash, so that you could be there when you need to be there. So Rava sounds also very much like Rabbi Yishmael, not like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So if this was the only Gemara that we had, what would you say? What would you say? What should a person's attitude be toward Talmud Torah full time versus balancing the learning and earning? It would seem pretty clear that the advice would be, if you want to succeed, to go with the Rabbi Shmuel approach.
He sounds like Rabbi Shmuel that you need to work, or he's just saying that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you just need a break, otherwise he won't be able to...
He's not saying a break, no, because he's saying Vasafta Deganecha. He's saying that you should actually, you know, make sure that you have food to put on the table.
Isn't Rabbi saying that those 2 months, when you should be working, don't be in the base, meaning... Right, 2 months a year, work.
Right.
The year, you should
so the question is, and what if the reality changes, where in order to secure food, it's not enough to work 2 months? You know, like the Rambam describes a person's schedule, that a person, the Rambam is a believer in work, and as we'll soon see, and the Rambam says, you know, a person should learn 9 hours a day only, and 3 hours a day, he should really work. He should work hard for 3 hours a day. What if the Metzius changes? Rabbi Willig always likes to say that I'm a big maker. Mordechai Willig likes to say I'm a big maker. The Rambam says you should work for 3 hours and learn for 9 hours. I allow it if you're going to learn for 3 hours and work for 9 hours. I'm even maker on that. That he allow for every balabas to learn for 3 hours and work for 9 hours. So what if the Matthias changes where it shifts, where Nebuch a person has to work 9 hours a day in order to earn a living? So would Rabbi Yishmael then say, okay, well, that's what it takes?
Well, what decides if you have to work for 9 hours?
To live. Meaning you apply for a job, and on the interview you say, listen, there's just one little thing, you know, this company looks great, and I'm only working Nisan and Tishrei, and I demand a salary that will be able to provide for my family the whole year. Okay? So, you know, next, like that, they're not really interested. So, the reality will demand it. Now, a person has to be honest about what he actually needs, you know, and what's a need and what's a luxury. Okay. This is not the only sugya, though. There are two other, at least two other, critical sugyas. Let's work a little backwards here. Look at source number two. Tanu Rabbanu, Ha'av Chayiv B'Bino. What does a father have to do for his son? Lamolo, Lefdoso, Lilamdo Torah, Lasio Isha, Lilamdo Umnus. A father has to do for a son, he has to get him a bris mila, or at least arrange for a bris mila. He has to do pidyon haben, if it's relevant. He has to teach a child Torah. It's a father's responsibility to teach a child Torah. It's a significant bidyavid, the Gemara tells us in the second paragraph of Masechta Basra, for a yeshiva to teach a child Torah rather than a father. But the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shum ben Gamla, Zachar Asish Latov, we remember Rabbi Shum ben Gamla Latov, because it used to be that everyone would just try to do what it says in the Chumash, that a father should teach a child Torah. Problem was, Mishayesh Lo'av, Malam de Torah, Mishayin Lo'av, someone who didn't have a father didn't end up learning Torah. So much great potential was lost from the Jewish people. And it was such a bizayin Torah. He had these great minds who just didn't have fathers who could teach them Torah, and they ended up not knowing anything. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel decided he's going to set up a system where everyone is going to be able to learn, a yeshiva. So he initially set up a yeshiva only in Yerushalayim, and because the pasuk says Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, that if Torah is going to come from anywhere, it should come from Tzion. That was an idea that was short-lived. It didn't really work out so well. Why wouldn't it work out so well? So carpool was a nightmare, right? Meaning that everyone had to get to Yerushalayim. So Viter, anyone who had a father who could schlep him to Yerushalayim was able to learn Torah. If you didn't have a father who could schlep you to Yerushalayim, so you're stuck, you're not able to learn Torah. So they saw that didn't work. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made a takana that b'chal yir v'yir b'chal pelech u'pelech, in every city, every neighborhood, you have to have moshiv melamdei tinokos. It's a communal responsibility. It's an obligation on the tzibur to set up melamdei tinokos. That's also, by the way, I realize going far afield over here, but that's an important notion, that there are certain things that are a chiyuv on the tzibur. Meaning, what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel did was not just to say that instead of the father being the one who's actually sitting there with the kid learning, the father hires a melamed. No. He shifted the burden of responsibility from the father alone to the entire community. It became a community responsibility to set up melamdei tinokos. Who pays those melamdei tinokos? Not just the father. The community has to support the melamdei tinokos. So when you set up a yeshiva, it's the community's responsibility to make sure that there's a yeshiva that's able to succeed in a community. It's a very interesting concept, the notion of a community responsibility. Because you can go to someone and say, look, the community has to do this. Okay, but I'm a person, I'm not a community, why should I contribute? Let the rest of the community do it. So you have to have enough people with a sense of communal value to contribute and say, okay, we're doing this as a tzibur. There are mitzvos that are mitzvos hayachid and there are mitzvos that are mitzvos hatzibur. Just to give one example. Nichum Avelin. I just happened to be yesterday. I drove all the way to Lakewood because someone in my shul is sitting in Shiva. So how do you do Nichum Avelin? You go to the Shiva house and you say, Amakam Minachem Eschem, you offer words of Nechama, you offer your presence there, just being there. After driving 3 hours, the Avel said to me, you know, someone came in and said that they asked Rav Eliyashiv whether you should say Hamakam Minachem when you first come in, or you should say Hamakam Minachem before you leave. And Rav Eliyashiv said, I don't understand the difference. You walk in, you say Hamakam Minachem, and you leave. Like, Rav Eliyashiv was not known to waste much time. So I was like, are you hinting to me that I should just like walk out? But that's an individual's obligation of Nichum Avelin. How many people here have ever been to a funeral? In the Beis HaKvaros? In the Beis HaKvaros? So what happens in the Beis HaKvaros after they bury the person? Everyone gets in a line, right? After the burial's over, everyone gets in a line. What happens? The Avelim walk through the line, and everyone at the same time, Amalkam Yachim. We only do that if there's a minion. Why? It's Nichum Avelim. Why do we only do that if there's a minion? That's a Chodas HaTzibur of Nichum Avelim. It's a community's responsibility of Nichum Avelim. A Tzibur is represented by a minion. There's the Rambam, for example, says that every single city, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, that every single city has to set up a tamchui for tzedakah. A tzedakah fund where people can come and get food if they need food. What do you mean? I have a mitzvah of tzedakah. Well, what do you mean every city has to set up a tamchui? What the Rambam is clearly describing is that there's a chavas hayachid. An individual has an individual responsibility to give tzedakah. There's also a chavas hatzibur, that the community has to set up a system whereby people are going to be provided for. Okay, but back to us over here. So a father has to teach Ketorah, lasio isha ulalamdo umnus, and to teach him a trade. V'yeshom rafla shito b'mayim, some say to teach him to swim as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she'eno melamed espino umnus, melamdo listus. If you don't teach your child a trade, you have taught him to be a bandit. Listus al kadaitach? How have you taught him to be a bandit if you've just ignored him? You haven't taught him anything. No, elekiilo malam delistus. The reality of life is going to set in one day for that child. And he's going to realize he needs to put food on the table. So if you train him and you teach him in a way where you say, don't worry, just learn all day. Hashem will take care of it. You're never going to have to worry about anything. Well, one day he's going to say, I'm hungry. My kids are hungry. They're complaining. My wife is hungry. She's complaining. And therefore, what's he going to do? He's going to resort to a life of crime. And how many times have we seen it? Just this week, there were major arrests with fraud, defrauding the government for significant amounts of money. in a very, very religious community. And that happens when a person thinks that, yeah, don't worry, the Ribbono Shel Olam will help, and then they realize, you know, that I never did anything to earn a living. So, Malam de Listus. He taught him Listus. So from this Gemara too, what would it seem? Now, if the goal is when the child grows up that he's supposed to be learning all day, lo yamush. So, melamdo umnus is a waste of time. Why would you teach him a trade? It's a waste of time. That's not what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be learning all day. I mean, this Gemara seems to paskin like Rabbi Shema. If we're going like Rabbi Shema Yochai, then, you know, what are you doing? Why would you teach him an umnus that he's then not going to use? So it seems to be passing like Rabbi Shema.
What's under the category of umnus?
Something that he can make a living with.
Even like bread, right?
Yeah, anything that he can make a living with. Anything he can make a living with is umnus. Yeah, shoemaker. You know, it used to be Rav Amital Zichrono Levracha from Gush used to say that that he found it so odd. Not odd, but somewhat distressing, I guess, that it used to be in Europe, Jews would dedicate their brain power, their intelligence, toward understanding the Torah. And their hands would be in their work, you know, a shoemaker, a carpenter, or whatever. But, you know, their work didn't involve a tremendous amount of intellectual capacity. So he found that in America it was the opposite. That as far as religion is concerned, people aren't interested in learning the EU, and they're not interested in like really dedicating significant amounts of brain power toward religion, but to do a chesed here, give tzedakah there, write a check, you know, to do, they're willing to do. But all their intellectual capacity was reserved for their work, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be able to achieve in work. Whether, you know, one umnus or the other is better is not really the issue over here. The issue is that one should dedicate a tremendous amount of brain power to his learning. Also, yeah.
How was your family able to move the responsibility from the Yachid to the Rabbanan?
It was Takarmi de Rabbanan, meaning sometimes the Rabbanan had to. So it's noted by a number of Achronim, he didn't completely move the responsibility, he shared the responsibility. Meaning the fathers can't do it all on their own. So the responsibility becomes shared in that way. So if you have this Gemara in Kiddushin, it sounds also like Rabbi Shmuel. Then there's another Gemara at the very end of Kiddushin, and this goes back to source number one. Mishnah. Kol sha'asakav v'manashim lo yisyachid v'manashim lo yaminas b'no umnas hanashim. When you're learning a profession, try to stay away from a profession that's going to involve being around women too much. Rameir amalolam yamir adamas b'no umnas nikia v'kala. A person should try to choose a profession. Rameir Tversky Shlita talks about this a lot. That a person should try to choose a profession that it makes sense that he would be able to learn and grow in Avodas Hashem with that profession. And daven Hashem shall help you out. There is no such thing as a high-paying profession and a low-paying profession. There are rabbis that make a lot of money. Most don't, but there are rabbis that make a lot of money. Ask Rabbi Jonathan Sachs to come speak in your shul and see what he charges. Okay, there are rabbis that make a lot of money. I mean, he can. He's really great. So it's not up to the umnus. You know, it's not like whether you're going to, you know, what job you choose. There are sanitation workers that make a lot of money because they rise in the ranks and then they're the, you know, make all sorts of deals with the mafia and whatever. But they can become very wealthy people. Ela kolofi zuchusa. Reb Shimon Bar Zoma reisa miyamecha chayev ha'ov sheyesh la mumnus. He says, you know, you ever see an animal? You ever go to the zoo and, you know, start interviewing the animals? Oh, what do you do for a living? Is that bear an accountant? Or is that bear a lawyer or a doctor? Because those are the only three Jewish professions. Vein Misparna said, no, they don't have any jobs. Vein Misparna said, Shlo Betzar. And yet somehow they're provided for. Valolo Nivru El Shem Sheini, and they're only here to provide for me. Vani Nivresi L'Shamish Kroni, and I have such a higher calling in life. I'm supposed to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Eino Dinsh Misparna Shlo Betzar by rights! By rights, I shouldn't have to work for a living. The animal doesn't have to. I shouldn't have sorrows in having to make money. Ella shehur esi ma'asai. What does that mean? Shehur esi ma'asai. I've behaved badly. And because of that, v'kipachti es parnasasi. That cost me the ability to be provided for. Who does this sound like? It sounds a lot like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, no? You know when you have to make a living? When you've done terrible things. That's when you have to make a living. If you do right, if you do the Ratzon Hashem, you're not going to have to make a living. It's only if you've done terrible things that you have to make a living. Abagurya Nish Sadya, Amr Misham Abagurya, Lo Yilamides, so then he goes through different professions. The famous line, Tov Shabarov from Legehanim. Then comes Rabbi Nuhu Ra'i. Rabbi Nuhu Ra'i Yomer, Maniach Ani Kol Umna Shabaolam Ve'eni Malamides Bini El Torah. I am going to leave aside every other profession and I'm only going to teach my child Torah. Torah will pay dividends in this world and the next world. No other profession is like that. Any other profession, at a certain point, you just can't do it anymore. You get too old, you get too sick, you just can't do it. Avala Torah ain't a cane. Elamishamarto mi kol rabin aruso, vinosenoso achris vitikva biziknuso. When it comes to Torah, when you're young, it will be there for you. When you're old, it will be there for you. It always bothered me. Is that true? You ever hear anyone describe what Rav Soloveitchik's last Yahrzeit Shir was like? If you hear this description, they don't like to talk about it so much. It's the saddest thing in the whole world. Rav Soloveitchik was a super duper koach. He would give Yahrzeit Shir. He would give lumdus for like 3 hours by asking like 15 kashas on Rambams. And it seems like, oh my God, these are the best kashas ever. There's no answer to them. And everyone would be like, waiting, what's he going to do? And then there it is, the chiddush. He says the chiddush. And with that chiddush, all of a sudden the kashas were never kashas. It's not like he answers the kashas. They were never kashas. And everyone's thinking, how did I not realize that? Because he made it so obvious. It was an incredible kolach. And then, after the 3 hours of making all those kashas disappear, he would say, in Yiddish, I don't know how to speak Yiddish, but he would say in Yiddish, you want more? And 1,000 people in Lampert Auditorium at a shir after 3 hours would say, yeah, we want more! And he'd move on to the Chelek Agada for another 2 hours. Masterful. There never existed in the 20th century in America, there did not exist another person like him. He was clearly, without a doubt, the greatest teacher of Torah in the world. You want to argue, was Rav Aaron Cutler a bigger genius, lesser genius? Okay, there was no great Rav Aaron Cutler couldn't teach. He wasn't a good teacher. I mean, he was an excellent, he was a humongous Talmud Chacham. But he had like 6 guys that he was talking to and 4 of them didn't understand what he was saying. Because he was a genius. His mind worked so fast and his mouth couldn't keep up. And he, as a teacher of Torah, there was only one. There was only one like him. And what was his last Yahrzeit Shir like? He was already ill. And he sat down and he started asking the kashas. And then he started repeating himself. Not realizing that he was repeating himself. Then he started getting confused. And he went back. He said, oh, Nachmul, Nachmul. And went back. Until they had to take him off the stage. And that was the last time he was seen giving a public lecture. It always bothered me. Biziknuso? It's really, it's always there for you? The Gemara says, no, any other profession, when you get old, you're going to forget how to do it. But Torah will always be there for you. How's that true? What do you think Pshat is? No? When you ever get Rav Shechter to describe that last year, it's issue. He cries always, but it's a certain type of crying. So I think what it means is that even if you're no longer able to produce in Torah, the Zuchus HaTorah is always there for you. The impact of your Torah is always there for you. You know, if I traded stocks my whole life, okay, so this guy made some money, that guy lost some money, and that's it. And now I'm no longer able to trade stocks, I'm no longer able to do anything productive for my clients. But Rav Soloveitchik has been dead for more than 20 years. and his Torah is being learned more now than it ever was during his lifetime. Because the influence of his Talmidim has so broadened the number of people that are thirsting for his Torah. B'ziknuso, it only expands. It only gets bigger. He's still producing for generations of Talmidim. You didn't learn by Rav Soloveitchik. I didn't learn by Rav Soloveitchik. My Rebbeim learned by Rav Soloveitchik. Your Rebbeim's Rebbeim learned by Rav Soloveitchik. So it's an expanding Torah that's being taught. So B'ziknuso doesn't leave him. So that's why Rabbi Nuraya says, I'm only going to teach Torah. It's teaching an umnus is teaching short term. I'm teaching for the long term. Okay, so now he's not going to teach his kid an umnus. How's the kid going to live? Ain't he belongs to the Torah? Okay, but you know, what's he going to eat?
Say he was successful.
It doesn't report the PS, right? What happened in the end of the day? But he must have had a plan, no? So what was his plan? His plan was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. His plan was, don't do like Rabbi Yishmael, do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm not going to teach him an umnus because I don't want him to work in an umnus. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. So the question is, you know, halacha l'maisa, how do we deal with this? And there are four or five approaches I want to share with you on this issue.
Some suggest that he was saying that I'm going to make him a rebbe. I'm going to teach him Torah so
you can. That's a big chiddush, because teaching and learning are very different things. There are some very great teachers who aren't that strong in learning. I was in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I was talking to one of the outstanding rebbeim, a significant Talmud Chacham, and he said, "Look, you know, in the yeshiva that he was in, he said, look around at the rebbeim in this yeshiva. They're all really good at their jobs." He said, "Some of them are Talmidei Chacham, some of them really aren't, but they're really, really good at their jobs. They're really good at inspiring Talmidim and getting Talmidim into, you know, it's a different malacha." Yeah. Some are medayek. He doesn't say, you know, the whole rest of the Mishnah is talking to Klal Yisrael. Teach, everyone should teach their children in Lomnus Nikia Vekala. Everyone should make sure that the profession that child goes into does not involve women too much. Everyone, and then all of a sudden, Rabbi Nuraya gets personal. My son, any malamed is b'ni el Torah. Are you suggesting that for the rest of us, or is that a personal statement? And if it is a personal statement, why are you allowed to do that? Meaning, if the halacha is that a parent's obligation, mamola liftoso lelam the Torah lelam the umnus, I get to choose which mitzvahs I'm going to do, which mitzvahs I'm not going to do. Say, Mila's barbaric. I'm not going to do Mila. Any malas b'ni. Any nosin b'ni, Allah hugs and kisses. No surgeries. We throw him out of the base medrash. So why does he get to do that? Why does he get to make that decision? So let's share a couple of approaches. First, you have the Marsha in the back of the Gemara here, Maseches Brachos. And the Marsha... One more Gemara that it's probably kedai to look at. Another machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael in Menachos Saditas Amid Beis, says the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yochai, this is source number six. Am Rabbi Yochai Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Afilu lo kara adam el kriyash mashachris va'arvis kiem lo yamush. Whoa, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If you just learned shachris va'arvis, you have fulfilled lo yamush. What was lo yamush? Learning constantly, never stop learning Torah. Okay, just Kriyas Shema Shachar Zavis. V'davar zeh asur lo omru b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. But you're not allowed to say this in front of Amei Ha'aretz. Why? Right, they'll think that's all you need to do. It'll be great. Okay, I can handle that. V'rava amar mitzvah lo omru b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. No, you dafka should say it Amei Ha'aretz. Why? A lot of times Amei Ha'aretz feel like I have no chance. So let them know that small accomplishments are accomplishments too. That saying Kriyas Shema Shachar Zavis is something. And if they see that it's something, then maybe that will lead to something else. Shal ben Dama ben Achoso shal Rabbi Yishmael. Es Rabbi Yishmael. They asked Rabbi Yishmael, Kigon Elni, Shalamaddi Kala Torah Kula. Someone like me who has learned Kala Torah Kula, they said. Dama ben Achoso said. Dama, Rabbi Yishmael's nephew said. I'm interested in studying Greek mythology. assuming that's what Chachmas Yevanos means. It's machlok is what Chachmas Yevanos means. Am I allowed to learn it? Karalav amikra zeh. Lo yamush sefer haTorah zeh mipicha v'gisa bo yomam v'layla. It says you're supposed to learn day and night. Tzeyu b'dok shah sheina lo min hayom v'lo min halayla v'lo mod ba Chachmas Yevanos. Find a time that's neither day nor night. That's when you can go and learn Chachmas Yevanos. They flipped, right? Rabbi Shmuel all of a sudden became Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai all of a sudden became Rabbi Shmuel. You know, who's the intense learning person? It was supposed to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, ah, Kriya Shema, good enough. And the one that's Rabbi Shmuel, who's supposed to be the one that's a little more laid back. Okay, you work when you work, you learn when you learn, it's all good. All of a sudden, lo yom v'lo layla, find me a time that's neither day or night. That's the only time you don't have to learn. Very difficult. Unless you say, you know, to switch around the shittos. Very difficult to make sense of that. Truth is, Rabbi Shmuel's shittah is a little bit easier. Because the shaila was not, kugon ani shalamad kala tarakula, so nu, when can I start working for a living? That was not the shaila. The shaila was not, when can I start working for a living? What was the shaila? I want to study Greek mythology. And you know, like, if you ask someone in an Ivy League school, what are you majoring in? And they say, Greek mythology. So what's your next question? What do you do with that? Like, how are you going to make money off of Greek mythology? Like, what do you do with that? And the answer usually is, either be a professor of Greek mythology, so it perpetuates, or go to law school. Meaning, you got to go to a graduate school where they'll actually teach you a profession. But Greek mythology is not a profession. It's not going to make you any money. Rabbi Yishmael in Gemara Brachos, in our Gemara, was all about making money, about feeding yourself. Yeah, so that you have to set aside time for. But to set aside, take away time from Torah just for other intellectual pursuits, that Rabbi Yishmael says, find a time that's lo yom v'lo layla. Remember when I was in Yeshiva in Karen B'Yavna, there was a Shana Dalit Israeli, my Shana Aleph, who was an Israeli American, spoke English really well, and was super, super learner. Really, really budding Talmud Chacham. So one of my chaverim went over to him and asked him for a chavrusa. And he said, I'm just like, I'm so crazed, I'm so busy with all these different chavrusas. He said, Bishah, that's lo yom v'lo layla. I can learn with you. So this guy waited for when they changed the clock. And he got the extra hour. And he said, okay, 1 hour, it's lo yom v'lo layla. We're not on the clock now. We get a free hour today. And he sat and learned with him for an hour. I don't know how you gave him back when they changed the clock back the other way. I don't know what he did for him. Yeah.
What are Mishmar and Brachos saying then? What should you work at if you're not doing some intellectual?
If you're not?
He said, don't do something against intellectual technology. So
be a farmer. That's what the Safta Dignach is about, being a farmer.
Or he would have let him be a Greek mythology as long as it was making him.
Right, if Greek mythology could earn you a living. I mean, if studying accounting could earn you a living. No one studies accounting because they're inspired by accountants. Right, but if Greek mythology could earn you a living, now this is if we were to leave it at that and not really look around at other sources, you'd get the impression that all secular knowledge has no inherent value, and that it's all just a kardom lach borba. It's a tool by which to make a living, but there's no inherent value in secular knowledge. Obviously, there are very, very great men in the history of the Jewish people who would strongly disagree with that conclusion. There are very great men that strongly agree with that conclusion, but there are very great men that would strongly disagree with that conclusion. The Rambam would probably strongly disagree with that conclusion. In contemporary times, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein would obviously, vociferously, strongly disagree with that conclusion. This is one of those subjects that has always been argued about and will always be argued about, and that's okay. The Jewish people need some variety. But what do we do about earning a living? You know, we're talking about a much more basic thing. And that, you know, seems to be, you need to be like a real Israeli Haredi to believe that, you know, to really be firmly in the camp of don't earn a living, only learn Torah. In America, even the Haredi world, you know, believes in earning a living. They just think you can handle here and there, you don't need a college education to do it, you could, you know, but... So what do the Gedolei HaAchronim have to say about this? So if you look at the Marsha in Maseches Brachos over here, it says Marsha, Nir lefarish devada yesh tzadikim gemurim du mekuyim bohu shemalachas atzma nasa yidei achirim. Elo dima'atim hema. There are tzadikim that can live that way, where all they do is learn. Just know that there are very few of them. The same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gufei perek lulavar rava reisi bnei aliyah vehem watim. The same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai who says that if you're zora b'shazria and you're dash b'shazdisha and you're then Torah matei aleh. That same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says reisi bnei aliyah. I've seen people who are successful in Torah vehem watim, and there are very few of them. Im elef, if there are, he goes on to say im shnayim, if there are only two of them. Im shnayim im ani ubni. I know exactly who the two are. It's me and my son. If there really aren't too many of them, then you really can't rely on that. Yeah, you'll sit there in the Beis Medrash waiting for other people to do your malacha, and they're not showing up. You know, they're not doing your malacha. No one is delivering free food to your house. No one is delivering a house to your, you know, your refrigerator box that you were living in. No one's providing for you. Shetzad the gomer ani the shemu hu toav ein atzad the gomer. Ironic line, right? Marsha says a person might say I'm in the wrong time because I'm atzad the gomer, so I should be provided for. Marsha says it's possible that you're not atzad the gomer and you're mistaken and you think you're atzad the gomer. It's possible.
From this Marsha, where would the bigger body decided to do both?
Where would what?
The bigger body from, like, let's say, the last 100 years, decided to both learn and work. What would they, like, if they were, like, big time to come, what would they do with this marriage?
What do you mean? It's perfect. Learn and work. Unless you are Yechidei Skula.
Right.
I don't think there's a person on earth that believes that Rav Eliashiv would have been better off if he would have been working for a living. You know, if he should have been, you know, like, do carpentry a few hours a day and learn night sitter. Like, what he's saying is that there are muatim, there are yechidei skula. You know, you ever read Rav Eliashiv's biography? I'll tell you the whole biography in a sentence. He was 6 years old, he sat down to learn. He finished when he was 106. That's the whole biography. Everything that happened in between was he was learning. His daughter had surgery, and guess what? He didn't know because he was learning. He had his kids got married, but he only went for 5 minutes because he had to get back to learning. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's not something that we really... I don't think normal people are supposed to strive for that. But there are yechidim on earth that are meant for that. But they're heimuatim. It fits very nicely with Rabbi Nurai in the end of Kiddushin. Maniach ani kolam shabalon veni melamedes b'ni, personally, b'ni. I'm allowed to do it because I recognize my son is one of those yechidei skula who's able to do this. But for the majority of people, it doesn't work. And it fits so beautifully in the Lashon of the Gemara. Amar Abaye, harbe asu k'Rabbi Yishmael va'olso biyadan. When the masses do like Rabbi Yishmael, it works out. And when the masses do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it doesn't work out. But Yechidim, they're allowed to do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. But you have to make sure you're Yechidei Skula.
So, aren't they
Yechidei
Poisim? Could be those who just choose not to?
Yeah, that's always one of the great challenges in life, to try to figure out what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from you. Like, what does Ribbono Shel Olam really want me to do? I don't know. You know, it's a very hard question to answer. And a person has to daven for Siyata Deshmaya and ask for advice from people that he trusts, from his parents, from his Rebbeim, from his friends, you know, to see what you're really cut out for and to search inside of yourself, ultimately, to really see what a person's cut out for. It's not an easy thing. You know, I personally, in my life, I was this close to taking an entirely different path. And who knows? Maybe I took the wrong path. I don't know. You daven, you hope, that you have to shmaya, that you did the right thing. So you have, yeah.
All like the Amoraim and Rishonim,
Which is an unbelievable thing. The Gedolei Amorai, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. Oh, scrub. You know, like, he wasn't one of the Yechidei Skula. I mean, that's the attitude? Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler? About all the Gedolei Amorai that had jobs. So it could be that Yechidei Skula is really, really limited. Because even Holy Tanaim and Amarayim apparently didn't do the wrong... Once we're on that topic, just take a look at the Rambam. We can't do the whole Rambam inside, but I encourage you to read this whole Rambam inside at some point. Source number 11. The Rambam in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam takes a very, very strong stance against those who say that I'm going to learn and it's your job to support me. Meaning, you want to learn all day, but don't tell anybody that it's their job to support you when you're learning all day. And the Rambam writes, Da, kizek var amar, al tasa Torah kardom lachborba. Don't use your Torah as a way to earn a living. Kolomar, al tichshve kli leparnasa. Don't use your Torah as a kli to earn money. Ubir va amar, shekol mi shehana bezeh olam bekavo Torah, shu koris nafshu mechayel maba. If you're enjoying the covet of Torah in this world, it's costing you in the next world. He says, people hide their eyes from this obvious point. And they pretend these Ma'amari Chazal don't exist. And instead, they come up with other Ma'amari Chazal that they don't understand. I'll explain them to you. And they impose taxes, so to speak, on individuals, on kilos. You have to support me. I have to learn full time and have 13 children. Now they have to get married. It's your job to support me. It's your responsibility. Why? Because I'm a Talmud Chacham. Because I learned Torah. V'asas abinu matorim l'chok m'chasim ve'yviu b'nei adam lispar sh'tus gemura. People believe this complete idiocy. She said, "Tzarich u'mechuyav," that they're obligated to support these people. Says the Rambam, "Lazal lechacham l'talmidim l'anashim oskim b'Torah v'Torahs l'minasan." That it's your responsibility to support those people who are learning Torah all day. V'kol zeh ta'us. It's all a mistake, says the Rambam. Ein b'Torah mashia ames oso. There is nothing in the entire corpus of Torah that would make you think this is true. I mean, these are strong words. V'lo regel sheyishan ala b'shum panim. There is no leg to stand on. Lefisha anu im na'ayin betoldos hachachamim zichram levracha. If we really look at the history of the great chachamim, lo nimtza etzlam lo atalos chovos al b'nei adam, we never find that the chachamim impose chovos on other people to support them. V'lo kibbutz mamon yeshivos hamramos hanichbados. They don't go around collecting money. V'lo l'rashi galios lo dayanu v'lo l'mravitze torah v'lo l'achon remun v'lo l'shar anashim. No money collections. Says, you know what it used to be? There were rich people, there always were. And there were poor people. And there were people who were learning all the time and didn't have very much money. So what do you think? The Rambam says. Why was Hillel poor? The Rambam asks, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but yet, why was Hillel poor? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that Hillel was mistaka b'trepik b'kolayom. He made that's so much money. He made a trepik, a little coin. And what did he do with that coin? Half of it parnasas beso, and half of it for tuition to get into the Beis Medrash. Until that one day where he couldn't get into the Beis Medrash because he didn't have the tuition, and he climbed up on the window and the snow. Right? You know the story. Why was he poor? There wasn't a single usher that looked at him and said, "Oh my God, that's Hillel. We should take care of him." Says Ram, Chas v'sholem, to be choshev that no one offered. Of course people offered. He was Hillel. It'd be crazy not to offer. People offered, but he wouldn't take. He wouldn't take. Because that's not the Derech HaTorah, to take from other people, because on account of your Torah. And then he quotes a couple of other Maimari Chazal about people who went to extremes, almost losing their life, rather than taking for the covenant of the Torah. So the Rambam has, not all Rishonim agree with the Rambam. Let's definitely put that out on the table. But the Rambam has this very extreme position that you want to be Terasim Unasim, that's fine. You want to be, not necessarily against the Marsha, you want to be one of those Yechidei Skula, that's fine. But for you to make demands that people have to support you, that's not fine. That there's no basis for in the history of our religion. Ah. So, Yisachar Zvulun is an agreement. Hillel wasn't interested. Right? Hillel wasn't interested. But Yisachar Zvulun, if the two parties agree, the Rambam's primary objection is to make demands that people have to support. Because I'm learning, you must become my Zvulun. No, if I want to become your Zvulun, because I would like the schar of your Talmud Torah, and you're okay with sharing that schar with me, which Hillel was not, right? You're okay with sharing that schar with me, so hey, make a Yisachar Zvulun partnership. That would be fine. L'chora. Rav Moshe, in a tshuva, about insurance, Rav Moshe was asked whether it's a chisarn of emuna to buy life insurance. Why? Because if you're buying life insurance, it means that you think you might die. Isn't that a chisarn of emuna? I don't know. I think track record in human history is that it happens to most people eventually, right? No, but it's like you think you might die prematurely when your family's still young and needs the money before they're able to support themselves, right? Because people typically, when they buy life insurance, will buy, let's say, a term policy till they're 60 years old or something, right? And then afterwards, the kids are already grown up and they'll be able to support themselves. So Rav Moshe was asked if you're allowed to buy life insurance. And Rav Moshe says, absolutely, you're allowed to buy life insurance. He says, it's a business deal. It's Yisachar Zvulun. And Rav Moshe, in the context of that discussion, talks about the idea of lelamdo umnas. And Rav Moshe has what we would say would probably classify as a pretty extreme Haredi view on lelamdo umnas. Rav Moshe says, if you teach a young child b'yaldusa anything but Torah, you're crippling him in terms of his ability to grow into a Talmud Chacham. He says, later on, when he needs to make a living, so teach him how to be a carpenter. But as a young child, you can't rely on a miracle, so later on you teach him how to be a carpenter. But as a young child, binaruso, you shouldn't teach him a numinous. And he says, that's what Rabbi Nurai was saying with his own son. When he's young, says Rav Moshe, shekivan shei efshar sheyuchal lamed im b'naruso yilamdeu aviv gam umnus pehechrich shechshanim ahalalu ein shichum lamdu umnus. What, Rabbi Nurai wasn't fulfilling his obligation? Of course he was willing to fulfill his obligation when the time comes, but not when he's young. When he's young, only Torah. I was just listening to an interview. David Lichtenstein from Muncie did an interview on his Headlines radio show with one of Rav Eliyashiv's right-hand men, rabbi in Israel who presents the extreme Haredi viewpoint. He suggested the opposite of Maisha. He said, no, Lamda Umnas is to teach basic arithmetic and reading and writing skills up through 5th or 6th grade. And then once the child knows that, he should have enough to be able to make a living later on in life. From then on, it should be only Torah. He thought Lamda Umnas is only when the kid is very young, the opposite of Ramesha. I have no idea what his basis was for that. And David Lichtenstein properly called him out on that. He says, really? Because that same line says La Sio Isha. Is that also only until 5th and 6th grade? Marry him off? So like, where he gets that from, that Lamda Umnas is only... Ramesha says the opposite. Ramesha says Lamda Umnas is later on in life.
But that's only teaching him if he's not progressing in Talmud Chacham.
So Ramesh said, no, if he's going to need an umnus later in life. So,
even if,
even if he's a tamacha. So Ramesh reconciles it that way, that, yeah, of course you work when you get older. But when you're young, any malam is b'ni el Torah. Right. So what you find is that there is alternate views of what the reality is. Right, some people will say, yeah, why not? Teach him to be a carpenter when he's 18. And others will say, come on, I mean, you're so limiting him. I mean, it's mamish crippling in terms of his potential future choices in life if you haven't taught him, to read and write, some basic secular knowledge, some basic science, some just like building blocks, foundational building blocks.
What about the person on the radio show who said to only teach him for when they're younger? wouldn't that make sense just with, by the way that the brain works? Meaning, if like that, he, if he's saying most brain power, if it's we're learning from a learning perspective, most brain power exists. Like you're supposed to like people's like are most developed like. Like a later point, I mean, like now, in like the 5, 6, 7, like
our brain changes as life goes on.
But it has like it peaks, like our brain falls in Israel, like 17 to 23, it's like when you compete in the Gala. So, would it make more sense to then, at that point, focus
more on learning Torah?
Learning earlier in life, focus on.
Yeah, I think I don't think anyone would argue that it's a really good idea to spend some time, you know, some significant period of time, dedicated completely to Talmud Torah. And that time, it's a really great idea to have that time at a high growth potential time in one's life. And there's no higher growth potential in one's life than, like you said, between like 17 and 23. You know, Mori Varabi Rav Aaron Silver told me that he thought that one thing that Lakewood has right, that, you know, maybe the idea that everyone learns for 5 years. You know, and then ultimately, you know, many will go out and earn a living, many won't, but, you know, he thinks it's too many that don't, but, you know, but the idea that everyone sits and learns for 5 years, I mean, why shouldn't we have Balabatim who not just, you know which way he had to hold the Gemara, you know, could read the between the lines of the article. You know, why don't we try to develop, you know, have a goal to develop significant Talmid Chacham? When I was in YU, there's a great Talmid Chacham, Rosh Yeshiva in YU, Rav Aaron Khan, I realize I'm so over time already, I apologize. Rav Aaron Khan gave a Musar Shmuz, and he was talking about how one of the big problems in our world is that, like, there's, you know, if a person dresses nicely and wears a nice yarmulke and smiles and whatever, so we say he's a Talmid Chacham, you know, like he knows how to say a Dvar Torah from the Drash Moshe or something, so he's a Talmid Chacham. Like, where's the desire to learn through Kresi Uplesi? Where's the desire to know Rabbi Kiva Eger's like that? Like, the Hasagos aren't what they ought to be. And that is something that you know, I think it's because of decades of our world just trying to stop the hemorrhaging of people, you know, completely losing observance. And I think that's why, for example, in summer camps in the modern Orthodox world, you will find how much learning happens? Zero. Go to Yeshivish summer camp, 3 hours a day, minimum. Why are they able to do it? Are their kids so much smarter than us? Are their kids so much more disciplined? Their kids are chayas just like our kids are chayas. Right? They're all, you know, why are they able to pull it off and we're not? Oh no, when you after 10th grade, then you can go to NCSY Colo. But before that, you can't learn a word. In life. Like, so I think it's an unfortunate element of our community that we don't have hasagos and learning like we should. Rav Khan expressed himself somewhat unfortunately in that shmooze, and he lost his job because of it, but but his point was very well taken, I think, at least by me, that you know, that we should have high asagas. And there's no doubt the Rambam is not saying, you know, alright, so you know how to read Chumash Rashi, so that's good enough. I mean, this is the Rambam we're talking about, you know, he was not setting a low bar. The Rambam was only setting the bar impossibly high, if anything. Because he was saying, you still have to be a great Talmud Chacham, despite all of this. It's going to take Mesiras Nefesh. You can't make demands. Oh, you know, people in Shidduchim, in certain worlds, you buy me an apartment, you guarantee me 5 years of support, where's the Mesiras Nefesh? Ram says, show me some Mesiras Nefesh, and I'll show you success in Torah. But we ultimately have this goal for success in Torah. I do have to give another shir, just to quickly point out, I don't know if we have it here, but it's kedai to take a look at the Briska Rav on Parshas Chayesara. Briska Rav on Parshas Chayesara has an important point where he just points out that Rabbi Nuhurai, who's the one that says Eini Melamedes Bnei Ela Torah, is also Rabbi Meir. The Chazal identify Rabbi Nuhurai. Nuhurai means what? What does the word mean? Light. And what does Meir mean? Light. Same person. And Rav Meir appears early in the Mishnah. Rav Meir is the guy that advised everyone to teach their child an umnas nekiyah v'kala. That same Rav Meir, later in the Mishnah, oh, ani melamedes bnei ela Torah. Well, why are you different? So Briska Rav deals with that, and he suggests that they can't be arguing. It must be that a person has options. They can, you know, and he reads that into the Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, that anyone can choose to be one of those, I guess what the Marshal would call those Yechidim, those Bnei Aliyah Vehim Muatim. And he explains, based on that very beautifully, the juxtaposition of Avram's mitzvos that describes how Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. With this, you have to take a look at that griz. It's a very beautiful griz. Also, the Marsha in Kiddushin has a slightly different take than the Marsha in Bracha. It's a little bit different. Chassam Sofer also had a very extreme point of view. Chassam Sofer said that you can teach an umnus only once Torah has failed. If you taught him Torah and it's just not working, that's when you teach an umnus. But you have to give Torah a fair shot first, and fair shot means only Torah education early on. So you got to take a look at that Chassam Sofer as well. Anyway, we've just scratched the surface of the sugya, but on Sunday we're probably going to move on to something else.